Well, maybe we can settle back in. And we'll look forward to fellowship later this afternoon. We've got a lot of ground to cover here this morning. And Friday, we celebrated, most of us anyway, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, our study finds us at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather abrupt transition to make, but we trust the Spirit's timing in our study, and we look for His help this morning as we go through this. We'll see how far we get. We'll just stop at 2 o'clock or so if we're not done yet. So, okay, 1 o'clock. That'll make you happy. So just to get you thinking this morning, to get your mind working, a question. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? Most of you have either been asked that question or you've asked that question, and you're either in one or two camps this morning. You're either wondering how to answer that or you're preparing to answer that to those who approach you. What is a Christian? Now, the short answer to that is pretty simple. Somebody who believes in Jesus and who follows Him. But, you know, more questions arise out of that. Believes what about Jesus? And follows Him where? And that, I believe, is exactly what the Gospel of John is all about. What John is really targeting in all of his writing is to answer that question. What is a Christian? You remember, at the end of his Gospel, and we've been over this many, many times in this study, Chapter 20, verse 31. These things I've written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name. Now, to bring it to a sharp point as we get near the close of this study, especially as we enter into the narrative now of His crucifixion, burial, and then His resurrection. What is it that a Christian, a true Christian, believes about Jesus? That He is God. That He is God. John gives us that at the end of his Gospel in 20:31. He gives us at the very beginning of his Gospel in chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. So Jesus Christ is God, and I believe that nowhere in his Gospel is John more on point and more specific in showing that Jesus is God than in the crucifixion and in his presentation of the crucifixion. Just his introduction, it's interesting, the differences between the four Gospels and what they focus on, because they're not all just the same perspective. They're different, and they're different for a reason. And this all fits beautifully in the context of all of Scripture. If you go back into Leviticus, you see four, in the beginning chapters of Leviticus, you see four primary blood sacrifices. We see the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and the burnt offering. Each of those required a death and a sacrifice of that blood sacrifice. Now, the peace offering is really what Luke's Gospel has the flavor of. He's focusing on the fact that the cross has made peace for us with God. We have peace through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The sin offering, of course, was not so much for sins that we commit, but for our very nature, that we have a sin nature. You've heard it said over and over and over again that you're not a sinner because you sin, but we sin because we're a sinner. And so this sin offering is what Mark focuses on. The suffering Savior, pain, becoming sin himself and taking on the penalty of sin. And then the trespass offering is because you're a sinner, you sin. There has to be payment for what you've done, for what you have done. And Matthew's Gospel focuses on Jesus Christ, payment for my trespasses. But the burnt offering is different. It's a bit unique. We see the burnt offering early in Scripture, even in Genesis. We see it throughout Scripture, the burnt offering. And the burnt offering primarily focuses on bringing glory to the Father, glorifying God, a sweet aroma rising up to God. And this is what John is focusing on, that Jesus Christ is that burnt offering. He says in John 17, remember starting his prayer, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." So John's gospel is this burnt offering. And we see Jesus' mastery over several things. And if I was to title this morning, I don't have any PowerPoint. I don't want that distraction. I want the Spirit to use these words in your mind the way that John would have designed it, without anything influencing that, but the truth of the Word. And all I want to do, and this is a frightening task, to present this, is to stay true to John's gospel. So John doesn't focus so much on Jesus' agony and human suffering on the cross. Jesus said seven things on the cross when you read all the accounts, but John only presents three things that Jesus said. And so we'll focus mostly on this glory that Jesus is bringing to the Father. But John uses a lot of contrast in his writing in order to do several things. These contrasts, and you know, in some cases they're almost these grand ironies that he brings forth to help us to see Jesus more clearly in contrast to the people and the circumstance around him. Also, these contrasts help us to see the belief that he's talking about. What is it? What does it look like? How did it play itself out in the life of someone who's following Jesus? And then contrasting that to see what does unbelief look like? And to be warned from that. And so just real quick review before we get into our text. Just to review our characters. You remember 2 weeks ago, Tim took us through the trial before Pilate. Now, the first part in the end of chapter 18 was Jesus before Pilate. And then as we get into chapter 19, it's almost as if you see Pilate before Jesus being tried. Pilate, this great Roman icon, governor of Judea, icon of justice, finds Jesus without guilt repeatedly. And yet he still delivers him up for crucifixion. Why? To save his own neck. To protect his place. To take care of number one, him. We have the Jewish leaders. Great icons of Mosaic righteousness. They don't want to be ceremonially unclean entering into Pilate's praetorium, if you remember. But they're comfortable conspiring and bringing false witness against an innocent brother and murdering the righteous Messiah of God. Why? Well, they said, lest we lose